But, yeah, and Nick, you were here last night, and from the Arizona perspective, and then we have Taiwan Walker pitching today. Last time he was here, he beaned Posey, and last night Belt gets hit by Bandon. I know, as Pat says, and you can expand on it, I think he felt badly about it. And then Lamb got hit by Bumgarner, which was the way baseball works. So go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it sure seemed like, you know, Taiwan Walker didn't mean to do it. He was clearly shaken up when it happened back in April. I was talking to him about it yesterday. He said it took him three or four starts before he started pitching inside again to right-handed hitters. He just was so rattled and didn't want to do it again. And then Bonda last night, I mean, obviously it's a breaking ball that got away. It wasn't intentional. And you could see the way he was crouching down, covering his face with his glove. I mean, it was a scary moment. Anytime that stuff happens, it's scary. And I don't blame the Giants for being upset and for, you know, throwing in on Lamb. And that's kind of, you know, it's kind of the way the game goes, and it's kind of the way you're going to want to do it, right? I mean, he didn't go really high up and in. I mean, he drilled him in the side, and you know, it kind of felt like one of those things where everybody's going to move on and just kind of understand.
Yeah, and Lamb understood it, and the umpires then did their warning, and at that point, and I don't, maybe they'll give a warning today before the game starts, but the Giants generally don't roll like that.
No.
They're not a retribution team, but as Pat says, for Belt, and so what's the outcome of that? And Nick, we'll get your thought on this for a second, but you know who's back tonight.
Oh, man.
And the Panda is back. You know, Belt is on the seven-day DL.
Yeah.
And now Sandoval is up. Ryder Jones, I understand, should be playing first base tonight. And Pablo Sandoval is back from the minor leagues, and we're all going to see that tonight and get people's reaction of what it's going to be like when he gets out there. But Nick Nick Pecora of the Arizona Republic with us. Here's Sandoval back again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think about when Aaron Hill came over to the Diamondbacks and had a couple of really bad years in Toronto. Change of scenery for whatever reason just kind of clicked in for him, and he just took off and kind of became the hitter he had been before. Sometimes that's all guys need. It's just a fresh start or a return to something familiar. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. It didn't make sense to me that he would fall off like that. That, you know, it's not like he was always in the greatest condition physically when he was a Giant, when he was having great seasons. So, I mean, that really wasn't to explain it. I don't know. And he's not that old either. I don't know. I feel like he could maybe have a second life here again.
Well, when you're 23, 24, 25, and you're out of shape, your talent can supersede your cardiology or your cardiovascular status. When you get to 30, it doesn't work quite the same. You got to keep up. And so Father Time may frown upon Pablo Sandoval. Marty knows how I feel about Sandoval being back, but he's going to play tonight, you think, Marty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's up here with Belt on the DL. Ryder Jones should go to first. I know they want to keep him in the lineup. Sandoval should go to third, and I think that's what we'll see tonight. But, Nick, you have pleasant memories of Sandoval because he killed the Diamondbacks, right? I mean, he loved hitting down there.
So did Brandon Belt.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like both those guys have really good career numbers against those guys. I mean, he's always been a good – didn't Sandoval – wasn't that against the Diamondbacks in the spring training when he hit a ball that bounced for a base hit one day in the Cactus League? I feel like I remember seeing that happen.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But down in Arizona, I could just see the ball being pulled through the hole, and he just hammered the Diamondbacks. So so he's up here today. What an eventful day. You know, in a team that's in last place, a team that, you know, nothing is going right, in a season that everything has gone wrong, the latest stuff is your first baseman gets beaned. Your reliever, who's you put in the messiest situations you can put him in, who's a World Series champion, is now waived to the Pirates, and Pablo Sandoval is back. So how about that for a Saturday at the ballpark?
I didn't expect all this to come down on
Stratton.
He's going to throw tonight.
Chris Stratton makes his second major league start. His first one, they told him 20 minutes before the start. That's when Cueto felt dizzy or something. He had the inner ear infection in Detroit.
Yep.
They said Chris Stratton was, and he'll be on with us today. But, you know, he was sitting around doing nothing. I shouldn't say doing nothing, but preparing for the game and mentally. And then next thing you knew, they handed him the ball, and he was pitching that day against the Tigers.
Yeah, bananas. I can't wait to see what goes on tonight. And just from a Diamondbacks perspective, J.D. Martinez, 6 home runs and under, 50 at-bats or whatever. I mean, he's not scraping the ball. He's not under 200, but 6 bombs, a slugging percentage. What do you think about the acquisition of the power right-hander?
Yeah, I was actually going to write a little bit about him today. I think it's been an interesting, kind of a weird start. Like you said, the batting average is down. There's been a lot of swing and miss. But he's come over and he's faced a lot of guys for the first time, you know, being in the National League now. You know, obviously, he spent his whole career in the American League. I actually just did the numbers. He's had, I think it was 14 plate appearances against pitchers he'd never faced before already.
Wow.
0 for 12 with two walks, six strikeouts. You know? Okay. So, I mean, you know, there's an adjustment coming over the league. But, you know, like you said, he's got the home runs. And, you know, it might not be a coincidence Paul Goldschmidt's been taken off here these last couple weeks. You know, I don't know. Maybe teams have seen J.D. Martinez lurking in the on-deck circle and thinking, let's not mess around here with Goldschmidt pitch around him as much. Let's go after him. And he's been red hot lately.
Oh, we saw it last night. Yeah. The first base was open, but I guess you don't tell Bumgarner to walk Goldschmidt. You just don't tell him to do that.
I mean, I don't know, though. The guy hit three home runs in Chicago the day before. You know, smoked that ball for a triple a couple innings earlier. But you're right. It's a star versus star.
Yeah, Bumgarner, walk Goldschmidt. We don't think you can get him. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Goldschmidt, 17 for 34. In his last 10 games with four home runs, I think 13 RBIs, something like that.
I heard Buster Olney debating it on his podcast. Is Goldschmidt the front runner for MVP? Because Bryce Harper, what he's doing, and there's a lot of arguments, Bellinger in Los Angeles. But Goldschmidt, I think there is no debate that he's right amongst the leaders for the NL MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at it a little bit ago. He's leading in Baseball Reference's version of WAR. He's a tick behind. I think he's literally a tenth of a point behind Anthony Rendon on Fangraphs. So he's right up there.
Okay.
The guy just does everything.
Oh, no, I love him. And he needs an October to shine.
Yeah.
He needs the Carlos Beltran October. If he has that, he's on the path to the Hall of Fame. And I discussed this last night at dinner with Dave Fleming and John and people like that. You know, the numbers are there, but it's got to continue.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the threshold for a first baseman is ridiculously high. I mean, he's done it for five seasons. He probably has to do what he's done for another 5 years and then have a long, like, kind of slow, drop off. It's just really hard to do. But you're right. I mean, he's on that path.
Yeah.
The problem is he got started a little bit late in terms of age.
Yep.
And he's in Arizona.
Yep.
Let's face it, you know, and you got to be good and then be better.
Yeah,
In Arizona, you're not in New York, and he needs an October. He needs an October of showing people what he can do. The article was interesting. Nick Picaro with Pat and I out here. Rendon, Harper, Goldschmidt, Arenado. And Rendon gets a lot of love for Washington. Now, I was asked a question last night. I think Alex asked me, or someone asked me last night. I said Zimmerman. How's Zimmerman not in this mix?
There's a lot of guys. I'm probably biased. Although, look, I did vote for Andrew McCutchen a few years ago, and I caught a lot of flack locally in Arizona for it. But for me, you know, watching Goldschmidt on a daily basis, Gold Glove caliber defender, one of the best probably the best base runner on the team, which is interesting because they have a lot of like really speedy guys that are aggressive and smart. And obviously such a good hitter. To me, he's just, you know, flawless in a lot of ways as a player and, you know, clubhouse presence. He just sort of does it all.
Well, it's going to be an interesting election this year because you got a couple from Washington that could split the vote.
That's right. That's
then
right.
There or not, somebody can sneak in. So we'll see how that works.
How about
out.
Kenley Jansen just getting a little bit of love because of what he's done in Los Angeles? 72 Ks, the Rolaids relief or whatever award, but maybe even some MVP love. I mean, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. He could sneak out a little bit. I think he's been really crucial to what they've done in L.A. this year, so I got a lot of respect for what Jansen's done.
Yeah, if you put him in the Eckersley class, you're talking 50 saves. But the number-wise, you know, five walks and, you know, 150 strikeouts.
Four walks, 72 strikeouts thus far, and 47 and a third.
That's the kind of Eckersley numbers that got him MVP with a lot of saves. By the way, Pat, Nick with us here this morning, and, of course, this afternoon, Allie is here, FP Jr. as well. Carmen, where is Carmen? She is somewhere today.
She
flew to Paris? Is that what happened today?
She went to Paris.
She went to Paris, I think, today, Carmen. I know you're listening. Our good friend Kathy Jacobson sent me a text.
Okay.
And Kathy does such a good job with the players and everything else as publicist. She wanted us to know that Pablo is donating his entire salary to the Giants, from the Giants, to the Giants Community Fund.
I knew that was coming.
Well, that's good. Well, even if you knew it, it's still good that he did it.
Yeah.
Then our good friend Pam Pitts, one of the highest-ranking female front office people in baseball with the A's, says the Rule 5 is now $100,000.
Okay. I don't get all that.
And the waiver claim is $50,000.
Okay.
All right. Pam, thank you so much. I said $10,000 or $20,000. No, you know, it's parking money.
Yeah, and so when Bobby comes out here, I'm going to ask him what was the motivation for putting Contos on waivers. I still don't really understand it. I'm not calling him out. I just don't really get it. Was it a financial deal? Was it? I don't understand. He'll be able to break it down.
Yeah, good. It's a good. I'm glad you do that. It's a good question for him, Nick. Let's take a quick break. I want to ask you a little bit more about the Diamondbacks before you got to run in the clubhouse.
Good.
Why? How did this happen? Who's Zach Godley? My goodness. I mean, they're talking Zach Godley in the Cy Young race already, and he's done stuff in a couple of months here that people are shocked at. All right, Nick Pecora's with us, Patrick, myself, Allie, and FP. Who do you have working with you today?
I got Thomas and Kent Ford, my boys, so glad to have them out here.
All right, if you're on your way, Hawaiian Airlines contest, the best contest in the history of radio. We're going to send a very happy couple tomorrow to Kona, Kauai, or Oahu, and the odds are going are great.
Yep.
So you want to come out here and take a look at that. So we'll bring you up to date on everything and a little bit more with Nick right after this.
Contos trying to get this team into the dugout and get the Giants up to the plate in the seventh. Here's the 1-2 to Harrison. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and that's going to end the inning. Nice job by Contos.
This is George Contos of the San Francisco Giants. Now back to Marty Lurie as he celebrates his 20th season of talking baseball here in the Bay Area.
All right, nice job, Matt Leland, with that highlight, and of course, hearing from George Contos. Pat, the other part, it's an exciting day at the park here. First of all, I can't wait to watch Sandoval play. That's, it is. Everyone, I see the reception he gets. But the 97 team is being celebrated.
Yeah, yeah.
And JT Snow is on his way to the park. He said he'd be here maybe 2:30-ish or something.
Awesome.
And we're hoping to get him out here. It's a big year for him. He had come over from the Angels that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kirk Reeder, who had won many big games down the stretch for the Giants. Mario Aliota was supposed to have him out here at 3 o'clock today for us. So
awesome.
Looking forward to that.
Yep.
And a lot of people have responded on Twitter. Larry Kruger, one of them, and he was sort of shocked that Sandoval isn't donating his entire salary to the Giants Community Fund. And Larry said, did I just hear Baseball Marty say that? Yes, you did.
You did, Larry.
And Kathy was the one who let us know. So,
does she represent Sandoval?
I don't know, but she must know part of the inside of what's going on.
Yeah, there. And I'm gonna take a controversial angle here, because this is kind of like what Ralph... Remember when Ralph, we used to go after Zito for his StrikeOutForTroops.org stuff and say, hey, he's got so much money. And then he'd rip Zito, and Zito didn't take kindly to it. I just have a hard time respecting what Sandoval became. So I don't know what the Giants are going to give him, but he's got 95 in the bank. So
yeah,
well, whatever.
You made that clear when they signed him.
Yeah, and we're still going to have to readdress it today.
All right, we'll see. Let's see what happens.
I know you don't want to address you don't want to hear it about Sandoval, but the fans are there. Well, there's a big split.
There's 41,000 that'll be here tonight.
I know.
Sit out there with me tonight, and let's see what the fans who pay the freight say.
Well, the fans. At the yard or don't represent all the fans.
Well, there are 41,000 out there who pay the money. It's real easy to sit back and tweet in your basement or do that kind of stuff. Seriously. You know, there's a big fan base, but let's see the people who are out here.
Let's do a poll. There's still a lot of people that value hard work.
Not today. Let's let him play today. Let's see what happens.
Well, Marty, I feel you. Yeah, you're working with Mario. Yeah, I got you.
No, come on, please. You can't beat the dead horse every time you see the guy. So let him play. We'll see where it goes.
What do you think, Nick? You're objective.
I'm curious. So he's donating
his salary to
his salary
Giants Community Fund.
That the Giants are paying him?
That's correct.
So that's a prorated portion of the league minimum, right?
That's correct.
And so
as Larry says, he's helping
tens
someone.
Of millions of dollars, and he's giving a couple hundred thousand
whatever.
To this charity.
Yeah.
It's a nice gesture,
I guess. Why not? Look, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's not a huge amount.
Not hurting anybody.
But as far as him as a person... As a person not living up to the ball, but we got into this a couple of weeks ago, not living up to the Boston contract and the way he exited, it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's here. Let's see what he does. That's all. That's my feeling about it.
Well, my problem is, Marty, is that Bochy said on Thursday to John Miller in the pregame, he said that they DFA'd Connor Gillespie so they could let the young guys get ABs. All right. So we know what I mean.
Well, as long as Ryder Jones still getting the at-bats, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Shaw's down there, right?
Yeah, he's not ready yet.
See, I don't know enough about that, but he is a young guy. And
yeah, at some point he'll be up.
I hope so.
Yeah,
we'll
see what he does. But right now they need a third baseman, and they're going to give this guy a chance. You know, Gillespie was hitting 160 or something.
I know he wasn't straping the ball, but he was clutch. And so he sets an example for the young guys about coming to the yard every day with the attitude of let's put in the work. So that's where I'm at.
That's why I say let's see. We'll see.
We got a lot to talk about.
That's right. Let's see. All right, let's go back to baseball. Nick, the Diamondbacks, how did it all happen? What happened here?
Everything has gone right for them this year. I mean, just about. It just feels like a lot of things have come together. Their starting pitching has gone from one of the worst rotations in the league last year to one of the best. They've kind of rebuilt their bullpen on the cheap. You know, Goldschmidt's having a great year. Jake Lamb's having a great year. They've stayed a little bit healthier, I think, than maybe last year when they were, you know, so banged up and got off to that awful start. So just kind of a lot of things come together for him.
Zach Godley.
Yes.
Come on. You know, the name, it's a great name. But, you know, you look at
Goldie and Godley on this.
Really, you look at the top pitchers, young pitchers in the league, and he's one of them,
yeah,
over 90 innings, which is significant.
He's come out of nowhere, kind of. I mean, this was a guy that was sort of the second piece, like almost a throw-in, I'd say, in the Miguel Montero trade a couple years ago with the Cubs. The Cubs had drafted him thinking this was a reliever. They plugged him in as a reliever in the minor leagues. Diamondbacks got him, thought he had a chance to start, and he's just slowly developed. And this is a guy that didn't start pitching, I think, till his junior year of high school. So he's kind of slowly progressed over the years. His curveball has come along. It's one of the best. I mean, you rank like the best curveballs according to some of the numbers, and it's like Corey Kluber, Lance McCullers, Zach Godley. He's thrown it a whole lot more. He's cut back on the cutter, which was a pitch that got hammered a lot last year. He's throwing a little bit harder than he was last year. He's amazing. He just had a start in St. Louis where there wasn't a single out recorded in the outfield. The Cardinals didn't get a ball in the outfield.
Wow. All right. Then we don't see him this week. Very good. Very good. Now, Tywon Walker is tonight, and he's pitched a little bit better lately. But playoff, you're going to – well, who knows if you're going to get in. You know, Arizona, Colorado, and Milwaukee's still lurking out there. The Cubs have got a half-game lead on the Brewers. The Cardinals and Pirates, believe it or not, are only 4.5 or 5 back. The
Pirates making moves.
Yeah, and they got Sean Rodriguez and George Contos today. But I think you want to get that home field for the wild card. I mean, you want to get in no matter what, but you don't want to have to play it in Colorado, I guess, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. And, I mean, they're in pretty good shape right now. They haven't been playing as well lately. Mm-hmm. This is their first 3-game winning streak since June. So it's been a while. They, you know, the offense has kind of gone cold. You sort of saw it last night. I mean, really only had a couple of big hits. You know, it's just been a thing where they've struggled with guys in scoring position. But, you know, you got to like the position they're in. I mean, Greinke, Robbie Ray, Tywon Walker, Zach Godley in a short series.
Good.
Like you said, you get past that wild card game, you know, hopefully you host it.
Yeah.
You get in there and you got a shot.
Can they mess with the Dodgers?
Why not?
I mean, pitching. I don't know. Look, you look at it on paper, you take the Dodgers.
It's one game.
Wood, Rich Hill.
You know, it's one or two games. If Kershaw doesn't win his game, Darvish better win his game, or Alex Wood better win his game. The thing about that 5-game series, if your guy better win.
Yeah.
His game.
I don't know that there's a single matchup against the Dodgers in any of the four that you would probably bet on the Diamondbacks necessarily, but they've got a great offense. They've got a good team. It's baseball. Mm-hmm.
You shut them down.
Things don't always play out the way you think on paper.
We've seen that a million times with the Braves back in
2010.
It's just coming back on the Reds.
Yep.
You just see it constantly. And I love it. That's why I say you better set it up the best you can.
Yep.
Because anything can happen once you get into the fight.
And getting J.D. Martinez was huge as a right-handed power guy to go against all those lefties the Dodgers are going to sling at you.
That's a great point. And then, you know, you match up with the Cubs and you got Lester and Quintana. It makes sense on a lot of levels.
All right, last thought. Nick's got to get to work. Rodney came in last night. He looked terrific last night. And I remember the time you were here in April, he wasn't so terrific. So is this it?
I don't know,
is he the closer?
It's a funny one. I mean, he is. There's no doubt. He's had stretches of total dominance. He is overpowering and dominant, or he is all over the place and getting hit hard. I don't think this is a guy they signed in December thinking this is the guy we want to get the 25th, 26th, 27th outs of the wild card game. You know, I don't think they were thinking that way. So it's a little scary. You know, I think every time you're handing him the ball in a big situation, there's still just – I mean, the guy has a track record of you know, erratic inconsistency.
Yeah.
He also has a track record of being, you know, incredibly dominant. He had one of the greatest relief seasons of a recent era, you know, that year with the Tampa Rays. Yeah. What year was that? 2008, I think.
Has he been doing it this long?
Oh,
jeez.
Come on.
He's
been
40 years old.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow. But he still throws
90. And he still throws 97. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I don't know. Archie Bradley's been tremendous in a setup role. They just added David Hernandez ahead of him. So, I mean, it's a solid bullpen. it's just a it's a heart attack inducing bullpen. It is. You've got Fernando Rodney.
Well, this is a time of year you love it. You know, you got 50 to go, 55 to go, whatever it is, and you look at everybody, and you got to win today. And if you don't, you better win tomorrow. And this is what baseball is all about. Unfortunately, the Giants gave it up in May. Mm-hmm. if they just had played reasonable ball and were 10 back or whatever with 55 to go, you could go day by day and see if you can cut the...
I haven't covered a playoff team since 2011 and only one in the last decade. So, yeah. I mean, come on.
You know the story.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. That's enough. Nick, thanks for being out as always. We love having you out here.
My pleasure, guys.
Nice job, Nick.
All right. Nick Porcaro, Arizona Republic. Very good. What a pleasure to have him. All right. We'll take a break. More coming up. Pat and I will go toe-to-toe on the Panda after this. All right. More coming up in the Sports Leader.